This is Cincinnati Edition on a Sunday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Here's Thane Maynard talking with Craig Young and his son Michael about their new mobile app they've created to benefit the environment and the Cincinnati Zoo.
All right. It's fun to be here with you all. Craig Young and his son Michael Young, who I certainly know through the Cincinnati Zoo. Michael spent a lot of time working on polar bear projects with us, and Craig serves on the zoo board. But you all are here to talk about a remarkable program that you've developed over a long period of time, myactions.org. Tell a bit about that.
Well, thanks, Thane. And certainly this is a result of a lot of work, but it all started really from the Cincinnati Zoo. So a couple of years ago, my son Michael had the chance to join a conversation at the zoo being put on by a polar bear expert. And he became very motivated to do something about the plight that was facing polar bears in general and really all of society as a result of climate change mm-hmm. and global warming. So that really led to him finding out about a contest, which he entered through the zoo, to reduce CO2 in the community. And that ultimately led to a mobile application and website to do just that. But the important part was making that fun and making it really worthwhile for mm-hmm. people to share what they're doing that's green. So every time they do a green action, and that inspires other people to do more green actions.
And people like to compete, right? I know that's a piece of it. Now, Michael, tell a bit about your involvement, because I know you've traveled all the way to Alberta to track down polar bears.
I have. It was actually Churchill.
There you go. Manitoba.
Yeah. And we got to see about 20 polar bears in a week. I was with 17 other teenagers. We learned a lot about climate change, polar bears, all that fun stuff. And then in the middle of the week, we got to look a polar bear in the eye from 2 feet away.
Wow.
And that's just a life-changing experience.
Now, when you say 2 feet away, were you in one of those big tundra buggies?
Or we were.
Oh, okay.
We were looking down on a polar bear.
That's amazing. Now, this wasn't just, you know, a polar bear Arctic safari, but, I mean, there was a lot of involvement prior and certainly since then, too. Tell about that.
Oh, yeah. Before it, we had quite a few textbooks to read and a bunch of new articles by Polar Bear International's head scientist. And then afterwards, we kept a monthly update, and I did this project for Polar Bears International, and it's snowballed into this.
Yeah. Well, it's a great thing because more and more people are interested in what can they do to live a more environmentally friendly lifestyle, to reduce their carbon footprint, all sorts of ways to measure it. But I think, because I participated in your program at myactions.org, it makes it kind of fun. Tell a bit about how you got from the start idea that Michael had into where it is now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when we started, we kind of started on the serious side because we were concerned about the problem. But we kind of quickly realized, and in part hearing some of your presentations brought us there as well, that just talking about the problem doesn't really empower people and get mm-hmm. them either. It doesn't give them anything they can actually do about it, and it doesn't really motivate them to do something. So we really looked at the leading social network sites and how they use social and gamification mm-hmm. to get people engaged and keep them engaged. And we're just finishing up one campaign
That's right.
for the Cincinnati Zoo, and we will certainly be following this on with continuing efforts. Where people joined teams based on their favorite animal and have raised a lot of money for the Cincinnati Zoo by sharing their actions with everyone else.
And I know from having participated, these are everyday actions that people are easily capable of doing. It might be recycling. It might be riding your bike instead of driving. And yet this system a little bit reinforces it because we've all had those things happen where you're about to go on a quick trip, you just have to run down to the store to grab something or, whatever you're doing on a morning. And if you pause for just a second, it wouldn't actually take you much more time at all to ride your bike. In fact, I've found up in the uptown area near the zoo and the universities, it's actually quicker to take your bike because you don't have to park. You just pull right up and go to the meeting. And yet it takes a change in mindset to do that regularly. So I think part of what you're doing, I guess, is trying to create a habit.
Right. And when that becomes fun to share it, then you're thinking about it. So then you do more. And when you're noticing what other people do, you see things that you could do that you haven't thought of. Mm-hmm. So it's that combination of making it fun, kind of keeping it on the top of your mind, and discovering new things that really makes the difference and gets people to actually change while just having fun and enjoying it and being social and being recognized and feeling good and helping the zoo.
Now, speaking of that, I know on public radio, people often hear, oh, some guys have created, you know, whether that's a website or a social network out in California or wherever it happens, and it seems very mystical. But it doesn't just happen by chance, because I think you've already been through a number of steps to make this more vibrant.
Yes. Well, really, from the time that Michael really got us started on this, which was well over 2 years ago, almost mm-hmm. 2.5 mm-hmm. years ago, we've gone through a lot of learning, and it's been multi-generational. We very much needed the younger people who are native to the social networks, as well mm-hmm. as some older people who can help get things done. Mm-hmm. And it's really been across the country. We have people working with us in California as well as here to be able to pull this together. So, yeah, and we've done a lot of testing and gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of different age groups to try and really make this as engaging for as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a student in middle school and being encouraged by their science teacher, or a mom who wants to encourage their kids to pick up new habits, or just someone who really cares about the environment, it's really for everyone.
So I know there are some components. One is, and the challenge you've just had, by doing actions, it helps raise money for a third party, in that case, Cincinnati Zoo. So thanks for that. There's also the competition side, because you're on one team, but some of your colleagues or people are on another team, and people like competition. So part of it's like a game. In your sort of research or focus groups or whatever is it called, have you gotten a sense of what it is that, oh, that really clicks, and people say, that's why I want to go to that site?
Our survey, we have done quite a few survey mm-hmm. Results of people who've used it. They are very motivated to help raise money for a cause mm-hmm. they care about. So that's certainly shown. They very much want to be part of a team and a mm-hmm. team that's making a difference. They want to beat the people on their team. So they don't want to just be on the team and have their team win. They want to be the best on their team as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And then there's other aspects going on, which is the ability to earn cards. They're virtual cards because mm-hmm. we don't want to make unnecessary material, but they're special edition cards. So, for instance, in the campaign we just finished, there were 12 cards made specially by the zoo, mm-hmm. and you could only earn them during that 3-week period. Now, we'll have other sets, and we have other sets now, and we'll have other sets in the future. So you only have a limited time to complete your set. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like getting baseball cards or Pokemon cards, and that last card or two is not that easy to get. So.
Exactly. And it's interesting that it is all sort of, if you will, virtual, where you're not going to have to get an envelope and mail the actual physical card, and then somebody eventually throws it away. Instead, just as today, most people are starting to read e-books rather than have to go to the library or the store and get an actual book. It's fascinating that there's an interest in that, and that's a tricky way to disseminate information as well. The thing I like about it, Michael, is it's a serious topic. It's as serious a topic as this generation will face. We're changing the way life works with the climate change. And yet, giving people not only, here's some little examples of what you can do, but literally just getting them in the habit. Tell a bit about that. Are any of your friends into it?
Some of my friends were into it for a while. And now they're off at college and on to new things. But it's just they realized it was fun and decided to do it for a while and then just had fun with it. And if it isn't fun, they weren't going to do it.
That's neat. Well, I know there are some that are practical, like around our house. And as you know, Craig, at the zoo, we've done a lot on a big scale to save both electricity and natural gas as well as water. The advantage for us is that we save a lot of money in the process as well. So there's a benefit to us. It's not just altruism. The challenge of people's homes, of course, is it can require some investment. Say you want to switch out your old-fashioned water heater for a point-source water heater. Great move, but you can't do it for $100. It takes a little bit of money. And yet, I can't think of anything less practical at my house than we have two people living there, and we have 80 gallons of hot water that's perpetually heating. So we got rid of it. We just put in a point source and called it good.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, there are those big actions, as we call them, yeah, that may take a little bit of investment. And one of the things that we try and do is provide people with an estimate of how much money they saved by their decision. So if they choose to carpool rather than take their own car, we'll give them an estimate of how much money that saved, as well as how much CO2 that reduced, which may not be something that's very tangible to begin with, but we have heard, again, in our surveys, that a lot of people have really enjoyed getting to know a little more the relative value of different things they do, and to see tangibly, okay, for every gallon of gas I don't use, I do save 19 pounds of CO2.
Sure. Well, you guys have been great to come in and do this, and I've enjoyed myactions.org, and I know that our listeners will get in there, too. And they'll look for future campaigns, too. I know everybody likes a challenge.
And they're coming. Thank you very much, Stan.
You bet. Thanks. Thanks, Thank Michael. You. Thanks, Craig. My guests have been Craig and Michael Young from the group myactions.org. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.